Well, today's lesson is going to be overcoming the flesh in a time of trials. Overcoming the flesh in time of trials. If you turn your Bibles to Romans 8:37, the Bible says in no uncertain terms that we as Christians are to live an overcoming life in our battle against sin. We don't overcome sin by the skin of our teeth. As he says here in Romans 8:37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Overwhelmingly conquer. That makes me think about when we went to war with over in Iraq to free Kuwait. That it only lasted a couple days. This big build-up for this war. They said it would be the mother of all wars. And it was over in about 2 days. And the terms they described on the news was shock and awe. That we went in there with such overwhelming force that it was over. They didn't know what happened. And so here the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, through God. And if you look in 2 Corinthians 2:14, he tells us that, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Always leads us in triumph when we walk in faith. You recall when the city of Jericho fell, right? All they did was marched around for 7 days and shouted, and the walls came tumbling down because the captain of the Lord of hosts was with them and leading them. And so they were more than conquerors. I'm sure it was shock and awe to them when the walls fell before them. And God always leads us in faith to triumph. In Revelations 3:21, Jesus encourages us. Revelations 3:21, he who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jesus is saying that I also can overcome just as he overcame. And so let's look and see how did he do it. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verses 5 through 7, if you're taking notes, Hebrews 10, verse 5. He says, therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the booklet, it is written of me to do your will, O God. You have given me a body, and I have come to do your will. Similarly, in Luke 22 and verse 42, Jesus says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. When Jesus was facing enormous trials at the end of his life, he says, not my will, but yours be done. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. My will is another word for the flesh. Jesus also had a self-will. He was tempted, but he was resolved from the start that not my will, but your will be done. I've heard people refer to my will as sin in the flesh. I think this comes from Calvinistic teaching, that this inherited sin from Adam. I don't think it quite works that way. We look in James chapter 1 in verse 14. James 1:14, he says, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. When one is enticed of his own lust. Lust here is the flesh. The flesh is just being flesh in all of its carnalness. Flesh is flesh. It's carnal. When one is enticed, it's of his own lust, of his flesh. Verse 15, James says, but when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. It is not until lust has conceived and gives place to sin that it can be spoken of as having sin in the flesh. That's when sin's in the flesh, after lust has conceived and brought forth sin. Now you have sin in your flesh. Paul agrees in Romans chapter 5 with James about sin and death. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, he says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. So Paul and James bear witness together that death came through sin and that all sin. At some point, after an accountable age, people make a choice, just like Adam and Eve did. And then sin is born in their flesh. Now they have a changed nature of sin in the flesh. Jesus, on the other hand, he was tempted by his fleshly side, but by the Holy Spirit by which he was conceived, he never was overcome by the flesh, and he did not have sin in the flesh. That's the way I see it. Now in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 5 through 8. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus was every bit a man as we are, only without sin in the flesh, because he never yielded to it. Tempted, yes. Yielded, no. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7 and 8, let's take a look at that. Hebrews 5, 7 and 8. Says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, He became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Jesus had to learn obedience with each temptation that came along. He learned obedience, and so it is with us. With each temptation that comes along, we are to learn obedience because we've been born again of the same spirit that Christ had. So if you look at Hebrews 10:26, I say, how willing am I to obey? Do I want to be saved from death? He says here in Hebrews 10:26, if I go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. I need to follow Jesus in everything. And how do I pray to God as Jesus did before and during his trials and his temptations? We see in Hebrews 4:15-16 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. While you're turning to Psalms 46, I want us to ponder the times in which we live. Ponder what is taking place in much of the world and has for quite some time. And it's now we can see closing in very much on us in the western part of the world who proclaim to be Christians. The times of trials and great temptations are coming upon us. And here in Psalms 46 says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations make an uproar, the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, Selah. Pause and consider that. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, is with us as surely as he was with Joshua when they took the promised land. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. We need to think about these things. When the time of temptation and trials come upon us, let's go to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Do you ever wonder, brethren, how you're going to react if great things come upon you, great dangers to you and your family, great physical harm, great mental suffering, all because that you take the name of Christ? How will you react? How will your flesh react? How will the Holy Spirit in you help you? This is what I'm contemplating on. In Romans 8:26 says, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You know, somehow as we go on through this Romans 8 here, in my everyday prayer life, and maybe it's just me, but in my everyday prayer life, what he said here about the Spirit, it doesn't really hit home in some special way that I feel like God is doing something. But when such trials that I'm talking about come, when your flesh is weak, when your flesh wants to give in, I think this is now where this passage of Scripture really comes into play. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. In this time of weakness and trial, the Holy Spirit's going to be interceding on your behalf, on my behalf. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. It may not seem like it at the moment, but God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Yes, conformed to the one that cried out, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Lord, take this cup from me. Lord, if there be any other way, you feel Jesus' weakness in the flesh. You feel the flesh being afraid as great drops of sweat, as blood fall down. The same fear that our flesh is going to display in such times that we cannot imagine. But he says here that we are to be conformed to the image of his Son. Yes, even when such trials come, be conformed to the image of his Son. That's how I think about this song. When my love to Christ grows weak in my flesh, I'm despairing over the suffering that I've never suffered before, but now is upon me for Christ's namesake. When for a deeper faith I seek, then to Calvary I go. And I think back and I think about my Lord, my Savior. And I think about the suffering. I think about the weakness of his flesh and his flesh looking for a way out. But then the Lord said, nevertheless, not my will, not the will of my weak flesh, but your will, Father, be done. Your will be done. And now faith rises up and overcomes the flesh. Now faith rises up, and he is strengthened by the Spirit now interceding for him. It says here in verse 30, and those whom he predestinated, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is he who died, yes, rather, who was risen, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. He's risen. Death did not stop him. Death will not stop us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Yes, all sorts of shame they put people through. Peril, sword, cut your head off, parade you out naked in front of people. Just as is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. They have no feelings for you. It amazes me the evil that men can do to each other. It is astounding the evil that people can betray upon each other. And it tells you of the darkness and why darkness must be defeated. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Overwhelmingly, shock and awe, overwhelmingly conquer. Fear not him who can destroy the body and then can do no more. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you turn to Psalms 121, the 121st Psalm. When these times come, and we are praying to God, as we've seen Jesus did, with crying, with great emotion, not wanting to be overcome by the weakness of the flesh, but rising up in our faith, the what we know to be true. At that time, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. That's all that matters. Forget the body. Just the tabernacle for a moment. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Oh, we suffer in the flesh when we refuse to listen to the voice of the stranger. He always brings the temptations to our minds. In these times of trial, these times of wickedness that may be allowed to come upon us, a trying of our faith. The voice of the stranger will be playing loudly in your mind to give in and give up. But the Spirit is interceding mightily on your behalf at that very time. And your praying in the Holy Spirit shows your willingness to obey God. I'm praying, it's my willingness, Lord, to obey you. But you must strengthen me. This is beyond what my flesh can do, but not beyond what the Lord of hosts, the captain of my salvation, can do, can bring me through. And the Holy Spirit will then strengthen your resolve. Ephesians 6:17 says that the Word of God is part of the armor God gives us to fight against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of wickedness. It's a sword to strike back at the voice of the stranger, just as Jesus did in his temptation. He would strike back with the Word of God and say, "It is written, it is written, it is written." How important it is that we have the Word of God hidden in our heart, that we may strike back at the voice of the stranger in these times of trial and affliction. In John chapter 5 and verse 19, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." When I read the Word of God, I must heed exactly what it says. Then I'm wielding the sword of the Spirit, and I'm doing what Jesus did right here. He did what he's seen the Father did. And as I take the Word, the sword of the Spirit, and I read, and I do exactly what it says, I'm doing the same thing Jesus did when he looked to the Father. In 1 Peter chapter 4, and 1 Peter 4, the first two verses. "Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, the same mind, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God." We are to arm ourselves with the same mind to suffer in the flesh, just as Jesus did, ceasing from sin, no longer living the rest of our time in the flesh for the lust of men, but rather for the will of God. So we can see the suffering he speaks of here in Peter is not the cross of Calvary, but it's the cross he took up daily. The cross he took up daily. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Jesus said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one that will save it." Also in chapter 14 of Luke, verse 26 and 27. Luke 14, 26. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." As a disciple of Jesus, I must hate my own life, my past life of sin. Deny myself. This is the suffering in the flesh. When you deny the lust in your flesh what it wants, you suffer in the flesh, as Jesus denied the lust of his flesh and never gave place to temptation. Here in verse 28, he says, "For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it?" To be a disciple of Christ, it costs something. It costs the will of my flesh. It costs my life of fleshly lust, which must feel the pain of being denied. Flesh suffers when it's denied. But on the daily cross, the lust must suffer and die daily. Then I have ceased from sin. Jesus, a reminder again, tells us in Revelation 3:21, "This is the way that the Master went." He says that I have overcome and I sit on the throne. And he's calling us to overcome with him. To overcome in times of temptation, to the lust of the flesh, to overcome in trials of suffering. There's a day coming, I'm sure of it, but many of us are going to be called to suffer great things for Christ. Ourselves, our children, our grandchildren. And as weak as the flesh is, as afraid as the flesh will be, I've heard many stories of martyrs who've gone before us. Just as the great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 11, gone before us, suffered horrendous things. Horrendous things. If you read Hebrews 11, what happened to them? Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Horrendous things we cannot imagine, that people can do such evil to one another. But it's true. Because that's who their master is, evil. But I am confident that in that time, when we cry out as Jesus did, Lord, if there be any other way, because I'm sure we're going to be saying that, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. As the Holy Spirit is interceding for me at that time, giving me an inner strength, not of myself, but of God, who will lead me to the victory. I believe that's the way it's going to happen. We'll leave it right there.